Hello and welcome to the second hour of the round table with me, Sunny Martin. And today we are looking at the security arrangement and its significance in realizing a lasting peace in South Sudan. Early this month, the President of the Republic formed the Unified Forces Command, a significant step in the implementation of the security arrangement in the September 2018 revitalized peace deal. The latest move calmed down fears over repeated delays and installments over the power sharing arrangement in the military leadership position. In the arrangement, 60% representation is allocated to the ruling party, the SPLM-IG or the SSPDF, and the remaining 40% was shared with the SPLM-IO and so on. And in the studio to discuss all this, I am joined by General Charles Machenkwol, who is a member of the Joint Defense Board, head of secretariat here in Juba, Colonel Lampol Gabriel, SPLM-IO spokesperson, and a Major General Lul Rai, SSPDF spokesperson, and also a member of the JDB. And our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Those are all our lines. You can call and ask your question to all the three officers here in the studio with me. First of all, let me come back to you, Major General Lul. You talked about the Kidgwang. And in the unification of the high command, we have not heard anything about them. And we understand that their delegation in Juba have been recalled to go back to Khartoum, or where they came from. So tell us, where are they in this unification? Are they left out, or do you have any idea about them?
Thank you. Let me make this right. Colonel Lamp said initially during the dissemination of transitional security arrangements, they were using our choppers. Mm. Yeah, that was correct.
Yeah.
And then said that maybe the choppers are grounded. The choppers are not grounded.
Yeah.
The only problem is that, you know, maintaining choppers is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Flying a chopper maybe from here up to Boru requires around 10 drums or more.
You know, per trip?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or more.
Yeah.
So because of these choppers are some of the latest. They are M17 or M18.
Yeah.
They are very expensive to maintain,
yeah.
But otherwise, they're okay.
Mm.
Regarding Kidgwang Group, we were not directly involved in the negotiation.
Yeah,
it was the security advisor that went to Khartoum and signed an agreement with Kidgwang
Group. But you mentioned you took them. That's what you said.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just talking. I'm saying I do not have the details. I only heard that we were given 3 months within which to implement the agreement.
Yeah.
But I do not have the contents.
Mm-hmm.
But where are they in this agreement? Let me use the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus said, in my house there are many rooms. Kidgwang is not on board now.
But there are many rooms.
Once we are done with the finalization, there will also find rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There's a SPDF, general headquarters, and in all the government ministries. So don't worry. We have many rooms.
Okay.
Let us handle our brothers here.
Okay.
From Swai and SS and IU.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they are on board. I'm waiting for Colonel Lam.
Uh-huh.
If he takes my place, I will be happy. If he deputizes me, then we will continue working. So we have many rooms.
There are many rooms within the 60%.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Colonel Lam, you wanted to make more clarification. First of all, let's begin with, after all, you said you are given 2 months. Now people don't know what is exactly happening right now. What is happening right now with this security arrangement?
Yes, I will come to that, on what is happening. There was a mention that we clashed with Kidgwang in Mirmir.
Mm.
I just want to disagree with that. That there is no presence of Kidgwang faction in the whole of Unity State. Let us speak. I know it's good to defend oneself or one party. But the truth needs to be put out there very clearly. We have intelligence report that we share, specifically at the level of JDB. When there is a movement of forces, we make sure the other side is aware. When there was preparation of this attack in Mirmir, I believe our co-chair, who is the acting chief of general staff of the SPLIO, and also currently now the deputy CDF, Lieutenant General Roblam, called his counterpart, his colleague from the SSPDF, General Santino Dengwon, and informed him clearly that there is a preparation for attack in Mirmir. Not only that, all the training centers, whenever there is attack, we make sure we inform prior to that that there is a preparation happening. Please, can you stop them from happening? So, the attack in Mirmir came from Kwach County Commissioner. He mobilized and supported by two platoon from the SSPDF that was based in rear in Kwach. They were moved to a nearby location where they joined the youth and also some IG forces and attacked the SPLIO Mirmir cantonment side. This was informed. We were informed maybe a week before that. There is no presence of defection. Let me say presence of Kidgwang. They even mentioned it very clearly recently when the report of the UN came that there was a violation that happened in human right violation took place really, or atrocity took place in Lair. The Kidgwang said clearly that it is between the SSPDF and SPLIO. So now why is SSPDF bringing Kidgwang into something that they denied? So defection of Kidgwang was sponsored.
Mm.
We know people saying there is nepotism, there is tribalism, there is this. These are all excuses being used against the SPLIO and Dr. Machar or its leadership. But the defection of Kidgwang, this is an open knowledge. Even after they beat us, like in Magenis, we moved down south. We came to Quake. Now, this is where we were beaten in the back by our own peace partner. When our forces came to Quake, they said, please, we are peace partners. We need to be able to stick together. Can you give us a space? They refused. They said, no, you better surrender your weapons. But the force that came to Quake was heavier than the force of SSB that was in Quake. So the commander was like, look, I cannot surrender my weapons to you, yet you have few. What if I decide to just, I will flash you out of Quake very fast. But because of a peace, we know we are peace partners. There is no way we can fight. So the intention was to move us down south, collapse with SSPDF, then move this country back to war, full swing war, because if we decide to collapse in Quake by then, it will mean that this agreement is dead.
Okay.
So we moved our forces to Sudan so that this violence is stopped. And in fact, that trick helped us. Up to today, Magenis is calm. But we cannot continue building militias and at the same time sending to go and attack, then we jump away from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
When the agreement was signed, or the defection agreement in January, for the Kidgwang to come to Juba, they became part and partial of the SSPDF. And immediately a ceasefire directive was given to us by our commander-in-chief, Dr. Riek Machar, that since we're in agreement with the SSPDF and Kidgwang has already defected to the SSPDF, we need to cease hostility immediately because they are now part and partial of SSPDF. You see? So the one who are under aggression is not us, the SSPLIO. We are here in Juba. Our leadership is here in Juba. There is no way we can only go down a fork so that it just land on anybody.
Yeah.
It cannot work that way. Now, to come to your question on the issue of the current situation, these few 2 days, there is a little bit of calm, I can say. I believe there is communication going from the Unified Command leadership to the people on the ground. And also, I am very grateful that the parade of Monday in Bilfam has sent a very strong message down, because the parade in itself was very negative and people felt it, and there was so much criticism that came from the South Sudanese community about that parade. And I believe that it will never repeat itself, not only in Bilfam, also in other base, because there is realization of unity and there is realization of people need to move forward instead of taking us backward. So there is calm in that side of the Greater Upper Nile. I don't see any movement of forces, matches. This, you could see Kitgwang trying to do things on the other side of Tija Malakal. But when it comes to Unity set, it's calm. You go to that side of Turu. 3 days ago, there was like classes in Kwerkem. We just hope that it will all settle down. But above all, what is important is for us to realize the importance of peace in this country. Not for us. We in the military, yes, you can decide to play games, we will also play back. But what about the civilians? Are they enjoying these games we are playing? They are not. They are suffering, and we are displacing them every single day and night.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to the refugee camps, they are going to their buses, they are suffering in their buses. So it is time we, who are in the uniform, realize the importance of bringing peace to this country, and we leave this selfish interest of positioning of what outside. Lul said maybe I will come to his position one day, one time, or become his deputy.
Yeah.
I'm even looking at retiring after this, because I just want to go and sit home and have time with my family. You see, it is not all about position. If we look at all individual interests, it is not position. We want just to have peace so that you go home, you cultivate. My father was a farmer. I need to go back and start cultivation. I need to go home. But how will I go home when I'm being followed every single day and night? So that's why some of us are still maintaining this uniform on. But otherwise, we just want to retire and go home.
Okay. Yes, Charles, how would you describe the morale of these forces who have been there in the training centers for more than 2 years right now? How are their morals?
The forces who are stayed in the training center for more than 3 years now, they are really frustrated. In the last visit that I did with Yerolul, when we went to Pantit, and this place, Malnabira, so we got a lot of issues. They have been complaining of food. They have been complaining of shelters. They have been complaining of medicines, and we have seen a lot of suffering. But they are committed with the training that they did, so they say they are willing to protect this country if they are really being graduated as forces and organized forces of the country. So their morale is actually frustrated. They are really frustrated. They are suffering because they will stay. These are the forces that these are human beings. They have families. If you stay in one place for more than 3 years, you are not seeing your children, you are not serving them, then what do you think as a human being? You actually have these morals. So they are actually persuaded. I think as the unified command was formed, then that is actually giving them a hope. They have seen that there is a realization of peace, then there is going to be implementation of this security arrangement. Then their graduation will be soon. Because we have been giving messages. We have been visiting training centers. Whenever we visit them, we assure them that your graduation will be coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that a message keeps on and on and on. So it become now like we are not committed to what is going to be done on their graduation. I think the leadership is committed and work hard for this graduation of forces, giving directive to JDV, in which I am. I think when they are going to be graduated, they will actually do their job effectively as they were graduated in those training centers. So their morale is actually low.
Okay.
Yes,
you are listening to the roundtable with me, Sunny Martin, and our lines are now open. You can call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and ask my guest here in the studio. Hello, Redmira. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I am Tron in Bortown.
Okay, Tron from Bortown. Go ahead, Tron.
Yeah, thank you. I am glad to be part of this and honored to be part of this debate. And also so happy for the media to bring such key partners and implementers to the panel. So my question is, for how long are we going to keep listening to such fruitless debates all the time in the media? And thanks.
Okay. Hello, Redmira. Hello? Hello? Yes, you can call us on 0912062079. Hello, Redi Mira. Hello? Hello?
Lani Martin, good morning.
Morning to your name?
David Magog.
Okay, David Magog. From WOW?
I'm not in Ural, I'm not in WOW.
Okay, David Magog, go ahead, from Ural.
Yeah, I welcome the guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three questions almost, mm-hmm. one each.
Yeah.
Let me start with the government, especially Lul. The government is the one leading the agreement. Who is really supporting the rebellion that is shifting from side to side? There are those who are shifting from the IO to government, or from government to IO or to SAWA. That one is the agreement, or is it another technique that you people are using? This is number one. Number two, I would like to add the IO. The IO, they are being united up there in Juba, and South Sudan in not Juba. The forces under the ground there, they don't even know what the people are doing in Juba. When are you really going to inform them so that the citizen of Upper Nile especially will get a meaning of peace? Because in Upper Nile, people are really suffering. Barakzal is okay a bit. Equatoria is okay a bit, but Upper Nile deeply, everywhere is a problem. When are you really going to implement peace so that the people in that area become South Sudanese? Coming to SAWA, I would like to ask those of SAWA. There are some people within SAWA that are not being understand. They look like in IO, and they are like in SAWA, and they don't even want to implement peace. So when you people are you going to really to accept to disseminate peace around the country so that we South Sudanese enjoy the meaning of this country?
Okay.
Because we don't even have class now. The class become a class of those who are using uniform. When will the citizen have a class? Thank you.
Thank you so much, David from Ural. Hello, Redimire. Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Martin.
Your name and
Martin,
where are you calling from?
Martin.
Yes, your name. Your name?
Yeah, this is Lual Grand calling here from Malakal.
Okay, Lual from Malakal.
Yes, I would like to welcome the guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the agreement has been implemented in the higher level, especially those who are in Juba,
mm-hmm.
or the higher rank. But it's still, the soldiers in the control men are facing so many challenges. As we are seeing now, there is no soldiers in the control, there are no soldiers in the control men. But my question is going to be very brief.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, the issue of Brang, and file. How will the government manage it?
Okay.
If you find everyone in the cantonment is having rank.
Okay.
If issue of rank, you cannot find a junior soldier.
Okay.
So everyone is even having
general.
Rank. So a general or whatever kind, this one will bring another defection.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lual from Malakal. Let's begin with that. I think this one should go to SPLM-IO because this is the same thing the president issued talked about here in Juba last month when he addressed the press in Juba. First of all, Colonel Lam, the issue of ranks, has it been resolved? Because like Lual is saying, in your cantonment area, it's very rare to find a junior soldier. Everybody seems to be having generals.
First of all, thank you very much, Luangaral, for your question. On the issue of ranking, let's not just try to push or continue pointing fingers at SPLM-IO. The current to go back to the press released by the president, we know that the JDB recently presented the report of their findings or the screening that happened in the training centers. Out of the 50,000 that were screened and unified, beginning from the rank of a private to a colonel, from the 50,000, over 53% are SPLIO, and they are all put into military formation, beginning from private to a colonel, properly unified with SOA and SSPDF. So the issue of rank, let's not just put it on the SPLIO. We know how to streamline our forces before, because that's why there is screening that is taking place. And the one who is always saying that when you go to cantonment site, you'll find ranks.
Yeah.
I think let him just go again to the cantonment and see for himself. You know, it's good to say that something is happening there, but it's not enough when you go to the field by yourself and see it. I travel a lot. I move 2 days SPD basis. Let me give example. You go to Belfam now. These ones are all not yet in the barracks. They're still in the barracks. They're supposed to go to the training center to be unified. They've about the unified police. Let me say the police, the national police that are here, and other organized forces. These are all same with people who are in the cantonment sites. Because let's not look only at the cantonment site.
Yeah.
What about the SSPD barracks? Have you looked how many ranks they have before they went to the training center to be unified? If we decide to put this together, you will see long list of generals that the IG have compared to the SPLIO. So the issue of ranking shouldn't take us back. If it is a matter of ranking, yes, we are streamlining. They are part of this team that are doing the streamlining. We are all doing this together. So it is all over. SSPD have never had, you know, since the coming of the SPLI into Juba after the CPA, up to today, there is no retirement scheme that didn't be put in place. Everyone is maintaining. How many generals do we have? How many major generals do we have? How many LT generals do we have? It's not only SPLIO. It's both ways. So we all need to find a way of making sure that this is handled. By retirement scheme should be there. This should be pension scheme that is there, because you cannot continue keeping those who are supposed to be retired in the army. What will the SSPDF do later on with all these lieutenant generals they have? In SPLIO, I think we only have 16 LT generals. 16. Lul is here, he will answer how many they have, LT generals. So, this is of saying ranking and blaming IO is not going to help. It's not going to take us forward.
Okay.
What is important is let's implement the peace and see if there is going to be a reserve of officers, then the president will decide to do with them what he wants to do. If he wants to send them home, he will send them home. As long as we are putting them into military formation, let's continue putting them into military formation. Then we'll see the excess later.
Okay, there is a question from David Magog to IO. Just finish, because we go to the other panelists here. The agreement is being implemented here in Juba, but not being translated into the region, more especially in the Upper Nile region.
He is feeling the pain of the violence that is taking place, and I'm also feeling that pain too. It does not mean that we are not united with our people on the ground. We are united with all our forces on the ground. I want to, first of all, exclude the forces in the training center, because the more we continue to call the forces in the training centers SIO, SSPDF, or IG, we are putting disunity and we are cultivating the spirit of disunity in the training center, which is not right. What we are supposed to do in the training center is continue with the spirit of unity among these forces that are already unified. But to term them as their IO, their SSPDF, they are SOA, yet they are already unified and put in military formation, is not fair, is not fine. And that's why we are not going to move forward. But the forces that are in the cantonment site and assembly areas, yes, we feel their pain. They are suffering. Lack of food, lack of basic shelter, we said it before. But that doesn't mean that we are not united. We are united. What is challenging us is the violence that is happening in the Greater Upper Nile. And this violence needs to stop. It can only stop when these forces that are unified, that have one spirit, graduated and deployed. you know, it will take us back to the issue of this saying that I don't have weapons, so they are going to graduate their forces without weapons. We give them a stick because SDP they have. These forces are not IO anymore. They are national force that belongs to this country. Why do you want to separate them even in the Unified Training Center? Do we really know the agreement? Are we implementing the agreement or something else?
Okay. This question from a throne in the Boer town. For how long shall we continue to hear this blame game? When shall it stop?
When we start speaking the same language and implementing it on the ground, it will stop. But if we are not implementing what we are doing in Juba on the ground, then I believe, you know, it's not about blame games. It's about the truth. We need to start speaking the truth to the people. When we came, there was a workshop that was done here for us, the media personnel. I remember it was said that there should be a transformation from wartime to peacetime. When we came, we started taking responsibility. We said, in case there is violation in our area, we shouldn't consider it as violation. We should consider it as administrative issue that should be handled at the level of JDB or at the level of command. But if we see there is violation, but when we say, please, you need to streamline this person, let him not continue with this aggression. But you see him continuing with aggression, then what do we do? So we continue putting it out to the people so that they know that something bad is happening. Like of reason, let me just give a very simple example. The Minister of Mining, Martin Abucha, was slapped by an officer of the SSPDF here along Nimbula Road, a minister, a national minister. Why do you have to continue looking at him? How can a soldier slap the minister? If we are really very serious and we know that there are rules in this country and we need to respect rules and regulation, Martin Abucha is a member of Artigono. He reports to the president. How can a soldier slap him?
Okay, let's find out from Major General Lul. There was a question of who is aiding this defection from here and there.
Thank you very much, Brother Sani Martin. Lual Garang was asking that question from Bor.
Yeah.
No, it is David Magok.
Yeah, David Magok.
David Magok
from
Urol.
Yeah.
Sincerely speaking, we in the government have not been sponsoring defections. People have been, soldiers, politicians have been defecting from SPLIU, from SWA, from all the armed groups for different reasons. We have been also suffering from the same. We have heard our ranks and file also joining the opposition, including our politicians. So we have not been sponsoring any. It happens for reasons given by defecting officers, by defecting politicians. Unfortunately, there is nothing in the agreement that says when someone defects from party A to party B, that person should not be welcomed. It is not there in the agreement. Even when you
but the agreement also discourages defection.
It discourages, but what does it say? Discourages it. And then what is the remedy for discouragement? All right. Even within our setting, even in the world of UN, when you are dissatisfied with the organization you are working for, you will apply and you go to another organization.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is there. Even finance with Arcanize. Soul Bugumin Kanisa Dele Kanisa Dak. Mozol Bugumin Shaitan Bumshile Le Yesol Messier. Oma Bugululo Le Itijit. Uloraja Kaman Buguli has backslided. Nobody condemns that person. So these are normal things that do normal happen. The only problem in if you junoop, when you are defecting, it's a Bamul Mashakal. It's a Bakhtul Nas. Like in Fimala, the turn in Basel, in the neighboring countries. Especially there is new thing that is being introduced to our political arena, helping unarmed political parties. It's beautiful. And G10, I think has set a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
And they got very beautiful representation without even firing a single shot. They are being represented at the presidency by vice president,
mm-hmm.
Quiz, and at all the levels. And they were only 10. I think if we could follow like that, if we could learn from G10, if we could learn from other unarmed groups, that you could still get your share.
Yeah, without
firing a single shot. And if they could give a big lecture to SPLIU, So I hear it's a beautiful organization. Most of SOA, they are not armed. And they got their shares. The problem with IO, they believe in a barrel of gun. Ata ajama der shakala woman der in the sagdam shakala. Ata ajama der tadid woman bade dunas. And
First respond to the issue of SSP Dev slapping a minister, a national minister, on his way to Nimule.
First and foremost, it was an allegation.
It's not true.
What we even heard, now but I know they are good at sugarcoating things.
Mm-hmm.
I was told the national minister left without permission. He had a very rude bodyguard at the rank of colonel. He was the first to slap one of our commanding officers at the checkpoint. First and foremost, mind you, Waragal Buori, Umunu, Kwez, Umusala. And with that, if you move from point A to point B, you are given a departure order, saying who you are, the type of armaments you are carrying, how many soldiers are accompanying you. Even I was told, the first vice president admitted, yes, Martin Abuja left without even informing him. Started traveling without getting authorization for his travel across the borders and with the guards that he had. Was sick of them a quiz. Sick of it a numerous few mujirimin. Pinas, Bamulu, Naplenas. Now you show up in the middle of nowhere. You are armed. You are us. You are talking rudely. Then I give it a coffee commanding officer. What do you expect? They are saying that if you live in a house made of glass, don't throw with stones. It was national minister that did not respect himself. All right. So if his bodyguard started fighting a commanding officer at a post, what were you expecting? This commanding officer had to be defended. So I think there was a kind of physical confrontation
mm-hmm.
between his guards, with our national minister, my commanding officer, who was slapped. So let us not take it for fog enough. If you are a national minister, who give you authority to go and slapping people at checkpoints? My shukul gasamu, lo wagabu ita ita mashuin, we in the patch order bitak, ita munu, ita ita kalam quiz. Quiz? You are a national minister, yes. Like, can you identify yourself? So he was responsible for the situation he was in, if at all he was. But I doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt. I'm sure if he had identified himself as a national minister, nobody would have slapped him. And if one of his bodyguards did not slap, was not the first to slap, I'm sure nobody was going to touch him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me find out from...
But it is an allegation.
Okay. Macheng, the issue of there are people within SOA who looks like IO, like SOA, like IG. So what's your response to this question from...
The chameleons.
Yes.
Thank you very much, David Magox from Yirul, right?
Mm.
He's the one asking this question. So, in fact, the question that he put on SOA, it is not true. You know, SOA, it is a coalition of parties, a coalition of 8 parties. Then that made the name South Sudan Opposition Alliance, SOA. Of course, as my colleague talked about the faction of people from party to party, the same SOA also have sometimes differences. But there's nothing that SOA should be identified, should be looked at as an IO or as IG. No. Yes, there are elements within SOA who actually believe that if they shift it to other parties, they will actually perform better than they are in SOA. And anybody who is actually left SOA and joined other parties, and it very clear is not a member of SOA, is already joined that institution.
Mm.
So that should not be a question that can be put on SOA. And SOA remain as South Sudan Opposition Alliance. I'm a member of SOA. I never shift side to any parties. I remain in SOA, and I believe the principle and the values of this organization. Yes, we are not. We have no link with an SPLIO, but we are opposition. We actually share sometime issues in common. because we actually call for peace. We actually call for peace, that South Sudan must have peace, and people of South Sudan must love themselves. This is what we have in our mind as South Sudan Opposition Alliance. And this year, I traveled to Rwanda myself with members of other political parties.
So you were one of the members who went to Rwanda?
Yes, I was one of the members who went to Rwanda, SPLMIO, IG, and SWA. We were 15 general and politician, aided by Dr. Martin Lelemro, the cabinet minister, cabinet affairs minister, and minister of defense, minister of information, and all this. So as we hold now beating the bush, as the two partners are now talking about all this, you know what is actually needed in South Sudan? It is only that people must believe that they are South Sudanese. Rwanda came from a very serious suffering. In 1994, they have a lot of genocide. So when we went to Rwanda, there are people who never went to Rwanda, but they heard about it. So when we were given a tour, we went to memorial site, we went to the border of Rwanda and Congo, where they have shown us, look, the country that have got no political will. And this is Rwanda. Rwanda has got no oil, has no got minerals. They don't have resources like what we have here in South Sudan. So the only thing they told us, they say after genocide, after 1994 genocide, when we think that we need to have a nation that we call Rwanda, we must make sure that we have three priorities that we actually tackle the leadership of Paul Kagame. Then they say unity is number one, accountability, and think big. But they make sure they have implementing all this. Okay, even the current government, which is His Excellency Paul Kagame, who is now the ruling party, has invited even the former one, the former government, who were working in that government, and they all work together as Rwandese. They unite the country together. You never has a person which are you. Why I referred to this question? When Lul talk about the slapping of the minister, if our national army are disciplined, are given the spirit of nationalism, are trained as the national army of this country, if they don't believe on ethnic or a tribal basis, how come a national minister can be slapped by a soldier? That one, it is against the will of the people of South Sudan. But I believe that is that is what we call, let me say, there's a lack of awareness of our national army. Army need to be sensitized, need to be disseminated with the meaningful peace, with the trust and the love of this nation. Even in the other SPDF, they need actually to train their army very well. And now when we have this unified command, they should not be longer call themselves alone that they are SPDF. They must know that they are fossil and part of this national army of South Sudan. How come a national minister should be slapped by the soldier? This is a lack of nationalism. Army need to be trained. Like now when you move around Juba City, a soldier can argue with his language. What is that for? And this is in the constitution we say we have the Arabic
and English.
And English that can be used by the people of South Sudan. If I move around, I cannot show my tribe. I can be speaking on the language that is respected by the people of South Sudan, but people surprisingly asking you in a language that you don't understand.
Okay.
And these are a national army that protecting the life of these people. I think we need actually to delete this. We must to come up with the unity of the people of South Sudan, like what Rwanda did. Okay? Because we are moving around the memorial site. And they say we will never go back to this kind of war. Why should not South Sudanese, having an example of Rwanda, why they don't bring it here? Okay? So when they have that kind of unification of bringing a country together, they don't even invite it international. They did not invite them. They make sure they sit down.
So what will it take South Sudanese to learn from Rwanda?
I wanted them to have this kind of unity, accountability, and think big like what one are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They should not believe on the tribal basis.
Okay.
They must know that they are South Sudanese. These parties are our tribe. When I say I'm from Soa, I should not identify which tribe I am. And if you say he's from the SVLM, nobody can know that he's from which tribe. If you say he's from the SVLM, IO, these are our tribe. In the country, we cannot identify ourselves on the tribe on a tribal basis.
Okay.
What is the reason for us to fight and get this independent of this country?
All right.
It is because we need to have a country.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's pick more calls. Hello, Redimire. Hello.
Hello, Sani Martin.
Yes, your name.
You are connected with James Warren Budele.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I would first begin with my question to General Lul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is debating like politician, and what is meant for National Army is to be independent to protect the territorial integrity of that particular nation given. Now, if you go to the defection of forces, it's not allowed because these forces are already going to be reunified to be named as the National Army that to protect the territorial integrity of South Sudan, not as SPLM IG, not as SPLM IO, not as SOA, not as any other political party that might take up arm or took up arm. So here, you need not to involve yourself defending this politician saying these people should defect. Yes, we know, but we have the principle that signed in the agreement that we were given free transitional period. And this free transitional period is to reunify the forces before the government is formed. But that one failed. This is what results to the forces defecting from this to this, because you failed to implement this key prohibition in the agreement which allowed the forces to be reunified before the formation of the government. But now, as you are defending as politician, not as a speaker of the military wing, should you think election will be fair if you are now taking side defending SPLM IO and you are not talking of things that should bring the future sustainability or future stability in the country? This is your question.
Okay.
Coming to SPLM IO, you allow yourself to be influenced by the government for government to be formed by the while the activities that are supposed to be implemented are not implemented, and you accept to be in Juba while the activities that are supposed to be done in the pre-transitional period are not met, and you allow yourself to be in. Now you are complaining. What is the way forward?
Okay. Thank you so much, James from Gudele here in Juba. Hello, Redimire.
Hello, Martin. Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is me, Isaac Man, Matiang, in my cinema.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to ask some two questions to our guests in the studio. My first question is to Lul exactly, and mostly is combined to the SPLA IO also.
Mm-hmm.
What are the mechanisms of promotions in the army lines? Are we promoted based on our tribes, or we are promoted based on capability of one person or other, or we are promoted based on our ways where we have been given proficiencies and a skill or to be trained?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I say this? Is because everyone in South Sudan need to be general. You need to jump to the bush so that you will be given a rank. And the rank should be in a systematic manner where you should have to go through your shell. You cannot just be promoted anyhow and say, "Is Masarek, we were at somewhere there, we fought there," and you bring someone without training that person. How will you explain to the public this should be a professional personnel or a professional army? As they have been saying before that, we need to make our army to be a professional army. How will you bring someone from the village
And
put a uniform on him while he cannot even speak the language?
All right.
So what kind of the language will you allow that person, or you need that person to speak?
Okay.
Even he don't know Arabic and English. My last question is, I think we have seen all the messes that happen in our country. We really lost hope, especially mostly the we use of the Republic of South Sudan. Why do I say this? Some of our youth now are graduated for more than 10 years and they have not got any work. Where will you expect our country to change if we don't work for developmental activities that will bring the youth together on board, that will bring people development so that we develop our country? Then basically, okay, based on this issue, okay, of debating every time,
all right,
of the peace agreement.
Thank you so much for your question. Hello, Redimira.
Good morning.
Yes, morning to your name.
Lawrence Lado from Monuki.
Okay, Lawrence from Monuki, go ahead.
Thank you, please. I would like to welcome the guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have just a simple question to them. You know, we as a citizen of the country, we are really following up all the issues that are happening in the country. And one thing that I would like to remind our generals, those who are in the studios, or those who are listening, you know, when are you starting protecting the citizen of the country through the constitution? You know, currently you are basing all the interests of individual are even making you to defend them seriously. But as a soldier of South Sudan or national soldier of South Sudan, you are supposed to protect the civil population. Imagine people are diverting from conflict, political conflict, to cattle raiding.
Mm.
You know, if you see this gap, you have been challenged,
okay,
as a army of this country. This is my question to them. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Because of the interest of time, we are going to have brief answers. Let's begin with Lul.
Thank you. I think there are a lot of things to be answered and we have little time.
Yeah.
Let me quickly go through. Let me start with Brother Isaac Mel from my cinema. What is the promotion criteria?
Yeah.
We in the SSPDF have a very beautiful promotion criteria. From you get promoted from one rank to the next, you are required to remain to wait for a number for some years. Maybe if from a rank of colonel, for you to get promoted to rank of brigadier general, you could wait maybe for 3 years or 4 years. There's a timetable on that. Then you must also have gone for some courses. They are clearly stipulated in SPLA rules and regulations, SPLA Act 2009. But unfortunately, because of instability, mm-hmm, because of insecurity, whenever we experience defections, the new rebel movement, they go and start promoting their fighters. You find some people promoting themselves on their own
to higher ranks.
To higher ranks. And when the war broke out in 2013, I knew of some pure civilians that were really civilians in their respective places. As we speak, some of them are senior than me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some of them are even lieutenant generals. But in 2013, they were mere civilians. I don't want to mention their names, but they know themselves wherever they are,
mm-hmm,
and they are known. So the issue of a regulated promotion is cross-cutting. It's not only SSPDF.
Is it now a challenge as you are trying to build a national
army? Challenge. Now, for us, we do not have a regulated promotion. The issue of rank inflation or having so many officers that are having ranks is because we are not retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from me. In our service now, we are still having veterans of Anyanya, one war. We are still having veterans of Anyanya, two war. And the SPLA-led war. Next year, SPLA will be 40 years. We still have officers who are still in service up to date. They should have been retired. You know, military is a two-way service. You enter and you exit.
Mm-hmm.
In our situation,
you don't remain there.
We have not been exiting.
Mm-hmm.
And we are attributing this to lack of pension
like
policy.
Like what Lam said.
Yeah, like lack of pension policy. Or even if it is there, nobody is implementing it. No? Most of us now, you get retired, you are just transferred from active service to inactive list. You are put on reserve and you go and continue receiving your salaries. For this to be controlled from the SSPDF point of view, we need to operationalize the issue of pension.
Mm-hmm.
SPLIO, before they came in, we were only 11. We had only 11 lieutenant generals. We had one full general, the chief of staff, the chief of defense forces, and around 9 assistants.
lieutenant generals in active service. Those were the senior officers we had before IO came in.
Mm.
So if they are having 16 lieutenant generals, and then they have more rank inflation. I was once an SPL IO officer.
Mm.
When the war broke out in 2013, we had civilians that joined and promoted themselves. Some were promoted, some promoted themselves.
Okay.
And they are still active. Now,
the question of Lawrence, when will the army begin to protect the civil population?
As of now, the civilians that are in areas under control, we are protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
It is the responsibility of each and every non-state actor to protect civilians in areas.
People in Magui County, if they are listening to you, they will not be happy with you saying that you are protecting them, because people have been displaced, people have been killed, women have been raped, according to what we are hearing, because of these cattle herders.
Yes, correct. You know, South Sudan is experiencing a lot of insecurity. Some that are politically motivated, but the one that you have just referred to in Magui has no political connotations. These are civilians that have been fighting because of over pastures, over grazing areas, over water. And I think the government had stepped in.
Yeah.
The leaders from pastoralist community and from the farmers, they were brought in and they are working out mechanisms on how they will reduce these clashes as a result of cattle keepers moving from their original homes to these areas. The government has been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Issues, orders were also issued that they should be escorted back to the original homes.
Okay, and James from Gudeli says, Major General, you are speaking like a politician, not an army spokesperson. You are defending the politicians, and he's afraid if election happens tomorrow, the opposite will happen.
Yeah, Mr. Dor, I don't know how he ended up concluding like that. I've never been a politician in my entire life. I tried, I'd wanted
to be a governor,
but I was never given an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been speaking as a trained military officer, and I would say I'm among the few properly trained military officers. I'm not defending politicians here. I was generally saying defections are cross-cutting, whether defections by politicians or by military officers. In all the parties, they are cross-cutting.
Yeah.
And we are not sanctioning them. We are not condoning them. But the agreement is silent. The agreement does not point blank say when someone departs from A to B, that person should not be welcome.
Okay. Yes, Colonel Lam, you accepted, SPLMI, you accepted to come to Juba without some of the provision being implemented. And what is the way forward right now?
I think Ms. Dor doesn't know the agreement very well. Probably doesn't know how we managed to sign this agreement. If we follow the agreement very well, right from the negotiation to its signing, we all agree to own the agreement as South Sudanese.
Yeah.
So when we came to Juba, because we believed that as South Sudanese, we are going to work together. And before we start doing that, we need to be able to have trust and confidence built among ourselves as South Sudanese, especially in the security sector. That was why the advancement of the security was the first to come instead of the political unit that, like 2016. This year we came, let me say 2018, we came as security apparatus in Juba, and we started building confidence among our forces, and everything went well in 2019 up to 2020. But things started changing when the politician came in, and also attention was shifted from the military wing or from the security organ to the political deployment by then. So that was when politicians started entering and things started getting messy. So for him to say we are now crying, we are not.
Okay.
To be very sincere, we are not crying. What we want as South Sudanese is to move forward and to accept ourselves as brothers and sisters. This country is bigger than our own personal interest or individual interest.
Okay.
This is a national of, let me say, this is a nation for everybody.
Okay. And finally, from your side, as we conclude, because our time is over, what can the people of South Sudan expect from the forces right now, from the people who decides, your commanders in chief, between now and the time the graduation happens? What shall we be expecting?
The JDB, as General Luruai put it, is going to hold the meeting very soon. And when that meeting happens, there's going to be a timetable for the graduation. And also a committee is going to be formed to to remaining position, like the level, the second line of directorates, they're going to make sure it's divided accordingly, as according to the percentage that was, say, 60-40
mm-hmm.
or 45-55. So when that happen, then we'll see how things will move. But trust me, we are moving, whether it is slowly, we are moving forward. And on behalf of the SPLIO, I would like to assure the people of South Sudan that we are not taking this country back to war. We will continue defending ourselves when we are aggressed, but we'll continue telling the truth to the people that we are here for peace, and we'll continue implementing this peace agreement regardless of the challenges we are facing.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, Macheng.
Yes.
Yeah, final remark.
Yeah, my final remarks to the listeners, people of South Sudan. Yes, we have been actually here some time back and giving the same message.
Mm.
And I want to assure them that they should not get tired. You know, peace is like a child. When the child born, it has to be, they start moving slowly until it become a person like us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how peace is. I believe this agreement.
Though it requires good parenting.
Of course. I believe this agreement is going to be implemented. Graduation of posts is going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
As the leadership is committed, the president, His Excellency the president, and the first vice president, and the vice president Hussein Abdel Baki, these are the people who have actually been tasked in this security arrangement.
Okay.
And South Sudanese should keep hope that peace is under the how do you call it? Macquarie has called it that is
around the corner.
Around the corner.
Mm.
Is around the corner. So this peace agreement is going to be implemented.
Okay.
Then they have to keep hope.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah. My remarks are more or less they will follow the same pattern that we at the SSPDF General Headquarters are committed to full implementation of transitional security arrangements. We are very sincere in our dealings with our peace partner. Those of the necessary invite for that have been waiting at the training centers. The time for them to be graduated is at hand. We are almost getting there. They should not give up. Lastly, the best way forward, the way forward for this army to become a professional and modern army that is capable of protecting the territorial integrity of this country as well as its people, is that there